People of God, good morning. Thank you for the blessing of being able to worship with you, to lead in worship again today on this already second Sunday in September. Just before I begin the call to worship and the song of approach, I want to just share just a few announcements. You're certainly more than encouraged to be part of the visioning, the congregational meeting of this coming Saturday. Pastor Bart Kiefer will be here as well. I think one of the blessings, Emmanuel, that you have is that Pastor Bart Kiefer is also the pastoral delegate to General Synod. So he will also be here, I believe, with joy and leading in worship on Sunday. And so make sure that you you take the opportunity to be a part of that this coming Saturday. Also, just a few other things in your bulletin to highlight. First of all, the Camp Shalom Fall Fair is all virtual. With the restrictions that we've seen, especially in the Hamilton area, I think it's a blessing that they decided to share it this way. I hope you have the opportunity to pray for it and to support it too. It states in the second part of your bulletin also that at the end of the Fall Fair, they'll be announcing where the scholarship goes. They're giving scholarships to some of the staff members to help with their tuition fees for this fall too. I'm part of that committee, and just bring many thanks and greetings from the managing director Tim and from the program director Adrian and the others who certainly need and appreciate your prayers and your support in so many ways. Hard to believe too that a week from tomorrow, I think it is, yes, is our federal election already. And we pray for our leaders and decision makers and the results of that election to be in God's hands too. Somebody had also mentioned that there's some connections here, thinking back just 20 years ago with 9/11. And continue to pray for protection and God's leading, God's healing in so many ways. People of God, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You have a call to worship that's in your bulletins. I think it's up here as well. Let's share in that as we approach the Lord. Let's share in His leading in our worship time. Let's worship the Lord, our light and our salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of our lives. We desire to live in God's house and to seek God in His holy temple. We have come with shouts of joy to sing and make music to the Lord. Let us worship God in spirit and in truth. Teach us your ways and make straight paths. Worship and always. Let's stand for joyful, joyful, we adore thee.
Oh,
One thing that I see streaming in the sanctuary, in the second verse of what we just sung, talked about the light, God's light and God's leading. As I left Hagersville and Hamilton this morning, there certainly was a broken part of cloud in the sky. Halfway between Hamilton and Whitby here, there were some places where there were portals of light shining down and shining through. And just as I pulled in the parking lot, just before 10 o'clock here, I saw Tony sweeping and the sun shining in brightly as it is now. The Lord is the light, and we have come to worship Him in the light that He's offering us around us. We have the gift of celebrating in communion this morning. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." But let's realize that when we come before God, we also come realizing not only that He is the light and who and what He is, but our sinful and rebellious nature. And it's important, I believe, that we always prepare ourselves for communion, realizing that the only light that is in our lives and in this world is the light of Jesus Christ, His light and His salvation. So we have words of assurance we'll hear from Psalm 32, verses 1 to 2, but let's come first of all together in our combined prayer of confession. Let's pray. Gracious God, we confess before You today that we are sinful and rebellious people, bent on rejecting Your word and Your spirit, unless You act in our hearts today. Come to us, Lord, and forgive us our wicked thoughts, words, and deeds. Set us free from a past that we cannot change. Open us to a future in which we can be changed by the work of Your Spirit. And grant us now Your grace to grow more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ, Your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. The assurance of salvation from Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. And then just to remind us about how we are called to live as His forgiven people, let's remember the truth of the summary of what Jesus says, how we should live. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Our confession of faith comes to us in the Heidelberg Catechism, question answer 40 and 41, 42 as well. Why did Christ have to go all the way to death? Because God's justice and truth demand it. Only the death of God's Son could pay for our sin. Why was He buried? His burial testifies that He really died. Now, since Christ has died for us, why do we still have to die? Our death does not pay the debt of our sins. Rather, it puts an end to our sinning and is our entrance into eternal life. Praise God for the truth of what we are celebrating, what we are remembering, and what we live in hope for in communion this morning. We're going to come before God in prayer. And one of the things that I've forgotten previously, too, and that is, we always have had a time when we've had an offering and offertory prayer. So you can participate in that in the back, like I'm sure all of you are aware. But we're going to thank the Lord for the gift of His calling to come with our hearts and lives and to pray for the work of the elders and deacons in consistory, but also in the using of the gifts of His people for His glory and in His name. We're going to end by praying the Lord's Prayer together. Let's come before God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your calling. We thank You for Your truth. Lord, you are the one who send forth your light and let them guide us. Lord, we thank you for bringing us to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. We thank you, Lord, for this time of worship and praise and prayer. Lord, we thank you for this time when we can be your people gathered together, even as we still roll out the hopefully the ending of this pandemic soon. Lord, we pray with your people and for your people, those near and far. Lord, we pray for the ministries and the missions of this church, for Camp Shalom. Lord, we pray that they might have a successful fall fair. Lord, we also want to pray for the leaders in our country, our province, our city, the leaders in our world, but particularly with this election coming up in just a little over a week. We pray, Lord, that we would be a people who always pray for our leaders. And we thank you for the blessing of being able to participate in the election process. May people of your choosing be gathered. Lord, it was just yesterday that I remember hearing and watching again some of what happened just 20 years ago with 9/11. Lord, we pray for our American friends. We pray for those who remember, those who struggle, those who deal with different things that they've heard too. Lord, we thank you for the blessing in this congregation of different pastors who share, but particularly Pastor Bart Kiefer. Guide him in the sharing with this coming Saturday and the congregational meeting. Lord, we thank you for the blessing of not just traveling mercies, but gathering mercies. When we get a chance to look back, Vision 2020, to look ahead and to look where we are, and to be reminded of our calling in you to be your people. Lord, we continue to pray, too, for the people in other countries that deal with other challenges, whether it's those who are still working through the storms that have happened down south, whether it's the things of Afghanistan, whether it's the things of Western Canada. Lord, with the fires diminishing so much, but yet there's still a need there, too. Lord, we also want to thank you and praise you for the blessing of this past week. We had the Labor Day weekend, and then we had so many in our families back at school or back to teaching, myself included. And I thank you, Lord, for the fact that our children can be back in school again too, whether it's Christian schools or public schools or schools of all kind. Lord, be with our teachers and our students, our parents particularly, the parents, our grandchildren, Lord, who are back at school as well. Lord, we have so many reasons to praise you, to thank you for life and health and strength and daily food. Lord, we thank you too for the people in the congregation that we can raise before you, those in the prayer corner, the way we can pray for one another too. Lord, we want to pray for Janet and Joe and John, for Jasper, for Mina, for Liz, for Margaret, for Carly, Gordon, and Helen. And Lord, we thank you that we can pray for one another. Lord, we can pray in the Spirit on all occasions for Hans and Jeanette, for Michael and Marion and Candace. Lord, for Christopher and Samantha, Lucas, Olivia, and Liam. Lord, we thank you. We also thank you, Lord, especially for the blessing of sharing in communion. Lord, how good it is when people can gather in your name and look back and remember, look ahead in hope, and look at where we are right now, sharing in communion. Lord, help us to know the blessing of this and to share with others who are maybe not quite comfortable coming back yet, to share with others who have hesitancy to, and Lord, to listen to what we are told, how we can go forward and anticipate being together with much more freedom too again. Lord, we thank you for frontline workers and doctors and nurses and health caregivers of all kinds. Lord, we thank you for this time of worship and praise. And we thank you, Lord, that you call your house, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Lord, help us to share our needs and our joys with one another. Lord, so that we can share in your grace, your calling, your strength. And Lord, we pray now that you would guide us to pray together the prayer your Son taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our song of praise, Just As I Am. What a lot of truth in the song we've just sung. What a lot of theology grounds us in the truth of what Jesus has done for us at Calvary. Just before we pray for God's leading as we hear his word and apply it, I think I want to just say once again thank you to all who serve in different ways here. For those who serve in leadership during the week, Tony keeping busy with all kinds of sweeping early this morning and with cutting the grass. Leo and the organ, help in the back in so many ways. The council, the different people who serve in different ways. Whitby Emmanuel is in our prayers, and we pray for God's continued leading now and in all that he calls you to. We're going to pray now for God's leading as we hear his word, as we meditate on it, as we apply it, and we pray that the words that we share from his word may find a place and a home in our hearts and lives. Let's come before him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of your word. Lord, how we know so clearly your word is a lamp for our feet and a light for our paths. Lord, I pray that as we hear your word this morning, that it would be your word of truth, that the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Lord, we pray that you'd be with your people, whether it's here in Whitby or in Ontario or in Canada or all over the world who are opening your word and set aside a day to worship you. Lord, especially be with ministers and missionaries in places where they don't have the blessings that we have. Guide those in areas where there is turmoil or struggle or difficulty even finding enough to to eat or a place to worship you in peace. Lord, we pray that as COVID dissipates, that your churches might and your people might see the blessing of worshiping together and gather more fully and reach out all the stronger. Lord, as we look to your leading in this day, in Jesus' name, amen. So for the scripture lesson, for the scripture message for this morning, I'd like to share from Luke 19, verses 1 to 9, words that are familiar, words that talk about something that we can all learn from and apply. The word of the Lord is from Luke 19, verses 1 to 9, familiar passage about Zacchaeus, and I look forward to tying that in together with some others, but also sharing what it means to me and can mean to us too. The word of the Lord from Luke chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man there by the name of Zacchaeus, he was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him. But Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." The word of the Lord, and may God add his blessing to all who hear it and read it and who apply it. So consider something in your life that has changed in this past year. Now consider, for better or for worse, in our world, our culture, over the past year. And in light of all of that, let's remember the truth. As I read in our devotional book, there's new ones out there, as I read in our devotional book, Words of Hope, remember that Jesus said, "I am the same yesterday, today, and forever." Because when we look at the truth of God's word, as it applies in just one situation 2,000 years ago out of Jericho, we can learn the truth of what Jesus did while he was here, but it has application and meaning for us too. Jesus still offers the only source of comfort and hope, and we can respond and we can belong, like our Heidelberg Catechism says, in life and in death, to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And Jesus still goes ahead. Yes, Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem, but he still goes ahead in preparing the hearts and lives of those he calls. And what a difference it makes when we consider the people that we see at work, at home, in our community, the people we encounter in different places and ways. Psalm 18, verses 1 to 2 tells us, "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." Let's remember that with all of the things we see around us, that Jesus is still in control. And it's not only Jesus who's in control, but he gives us his word in guiding us. A hiker has a compass to give direction. A driver might have a GPS. A teacher might have a plan. And still north remains north, and the road has a destination, and the plan has a purpose. And Jesus still calls people to himself. He calls us to confess him, to know him, to respond to him. And he calls us with the hole that's in our hearts to have a heart for the Savior. And Jesus will forever seek and call in his saving way. So, looking at this verse, these verses, Jesus is passing through Jericho, the city of palms. Interestingly, he's about, maybe about 15 kilometers north of Jerusalem, likely just within a week or a few days of Palm Sunday. And we find a most unexpected encounter. Beyond all human understanding, why did Zacchaeus want to see Jesus? Especially when you think that he's a chief tax collector, a foreman, an overseer in a hub city that has many travelers and business people going in and out. He would have received a percentage of what those tax collectors were gathering in that area, and to many people, he had a strong label on him. He had a reputation of being a sinner, and even more than that, being the leader of sinners. He was successful, wealthy, and yet he still wanted and needed to see Jesus. What had he heard? It's interesting when you take a look in Luke here, because already in Luke 5, verse 27, Jesus had called a tax collector. Jesus called Matthew sitting beside his tax booth. Let me just read that from Matthew 5, verse 27. Or pardon me, Luke 5, verse 27. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him, and Levi got up and left everything and followed him. I wonder if Zacchaeus knew about that. Or how about in Luke chapter 15? Tax collectors were gathered around Jesus. Tax collectors and sinners. I wonder if Zacchaeus knew about this. Or even in the chapter just before this, Jesus speaks about one rich young ruler. And Jesus speaks about wealth and even his calling for that young man because he wanted to have a place in the kingdom of God. And so we find here Jesus has a reputation. In Luke it says, the scribes and Pharisees, the teachers of the law, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" But also this in Luke 18, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." You know, through what Zacchaeus had heard, he was looking to see this one, Jesus. Jesus had spoken against hypocrisy, self-sufficiency, particularly that of the scribes and Pharisees, of the teachers and the religious leaders, and he sought out and he showed compassion to those who were labeled as outsiders. Yes, the poor, the marginalized, the downcast, and even this tax collector who the religious establishment, you might say, rejected. Matthew 9, verse 13. "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Go and learn what this means, for I have not come to call the righteous," meaning the self-righteous, "but sinners." Luke 15, verse 4. "What man of you, if he had 100 sheep and loses one, does not leave the 99 and seek the others?" So you see what had happened around this time was something that maybe pricked a little bit of curiosity in Zacchaeus or a calling. He wants to see Jesus, but he couldn't. He's too short. He runs ahead of the crowd to where the lineup hasn't yet formed, and he climbs a tree. But let's back up a little bit. God is working in Zacchaeus' heart because sinners do not, of their own accord, seek Jesus. Christ. Zacchaeus was on a quest to find Jesus, but preceding this is Jesus on a quest to find Zacchaeus. So as Jesus gets closer, he looks up and he calls him by name. And he calls him with urgency. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. Jesus seeks the one seeking him. Or rather, Zacchaeus looks for the one looking for him. He calls him by name with an urgency and immediacy, a personal call. I must stay at your house today. It's interesting that so often in Scripture we read of patience and persistence and perseverance, but several times in Luke, especially in the Gospel of Luke, there's an urgency, there's a need because Jesus is passing through. But he's never too busy to stop and call those on the way. Have you noticed how sometimes that's in our lives too? We get busy with all different things and Jesus uses different things on the way to call us. But he doesn't just keep calling. Sometimes we have our eyes and ears open a little bit more and we find ourselves in that tree wondering a bit more about who this Jesus is. So Jesus invites himself to Zacchaeus' home. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. And it seems as if with the same bold way that Jesus calls Zacchaeus as he stops at the foot of that tree, in the same way Zacchaeus, as he sees and has heard so much about Jesus, he comes down at once, right away, and welcomes him, not just welcomes him gladly. And I think we need to look in our own lives too, because there are times when God calls. And we need to always pray that God would give us ears to listen. He invites us to be part of his calling, his ministry. He invites us to respond. He takes the initiative. And that's what communion is. 2,000 years ago, God gave his son Jesus Christ to die for our sins. And now is the time when Jesus says and calls us to respond, to remember in looking back, to look ahead because one day soon he's returning, and to celebrate in communion with the blessing of God's people here now and this morning, doing this in remembrance of him. So Zacchaeus gladly accepts the way Jesus says he's going to come to his house. And remember, this is the biblical time of when this happens. So it's a bit different than now, because when you take someone in your home, you're also kind of, you're agreeing to protect them, to be with them. It's more than just an invitation into a house. It's an invitation into a home and a heart. So, Zacchaeus comes down, welcomes him there. But it doesn't end there, because something happens now. Something happens in those first moments when Zacchaeus is telling Jesus, yes, come to my home. All the people are there. All the people of Jericho, people maybe traveling with Jesus. Jesus is with his disciples, yes, but there's a crowd that's been gathering. Maybe they have an expectation already of what Jerusalem and what things there might mean, because they know he's going on his way steadfastly. So the people say, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. Well, he has, chief of sinners. But Zacchaeus does not listen to the crowd. And sometimes we have to stop and say, Lord, there's what the crowd says. There's what other people say. But what are you saying? When Zacchaeus responds to the invitation from Jesus, I'm coming to your house, come down immediately. When Zacchaeus invites him in, welcomes him in gladly, Zacchaeus could have turned around and listened to the crowd. This is when we need to be a people of faith and of the word. We need to look for God's leading and act on it. The people saw and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Zacchaeus, what does he do? Let's take a look right away at this. Zacchaeus stands up and says to the Lord, he doesn't address what the crowd is saying. It's hard to address what the crowd is saying. He looks to Jesus. And unlike the rich young ruler in the chapter before this, Luke 18, the rich young ruler who left sad because he had many possessions, sometimes we have to have the blessing of reading two biblical accounts, one after another. That happened just the chapter before this. But here we have Zacchaeus showing in what he says and what he's going to do what a difference it makes to follow him. Jesus is welcomed into the home of Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus says, "Look, Lord." And he's not saying, "Look, Lord," because he wants people to look at him. He says, "Look, Lord." He's not like the Pharisee and the publican who are giving money at the temple and want other people to see what's happening. He's saying this to the Lord God. He's saying, "Here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay it back four times." Four times the amount. So Jesus says something in response to this. Zacchaeus' heart and life is changed because he's responding to what Jesus is doing. And Jesus says something that we need to stop and pause for just a minute, just a few moments before we share in communion this morning. Jesus sees what is going on in this man's heart, and he says, "Today, salvation has come into this house." And keep in mind, just a little over a week and a half after this, when Jesus is in Jerusalem, when Palm Sunday has happened, while Jesus is dying on the cross for our sins, Jesus says this to another man. He says to the thief on the cross beside him, "I tell you today, you'll be with me in paradise." Because of what has happened in Zacchaeus' heart, welcoming Jesus into more than his home, Jesus says, "Today, salvation has come to this house." And then there's another little part of it. Right after that, it says, "Because this man too is a son of Abraham." Well, likely Zacchaeus was a descendant of Abraham, but now he's more than that. He's a part of the family. The words here, "he's a son of Abraham," refer to not simply what he is by blood, by birth, but what he is by being born anew. "For the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost." Jesus declares that it's his role to seek and save the lost. And I pray that we always remember that. Jesus goes ahead of our intentions, our outreach, our lives, our responding to him. He goes ahead by the way he calls us, and we are called to respond. Actions show a new heart and priority in Zacchaeus. Jesus shows the welcoming into the kingdom of heaven through the gift of his salvation, the gift of being part of the family of God, and addressing that it's Jesus who continues to seek and save those who are lost. It's a very familiar story, Zacchaeus. But may we realize that it's God's calling. It's God's calling that brings us here to worship him. It's God's calling that allows us to receive salvation and receive in remembrance once again all that he's done. It's God's gift that he gives us the strength to walk in faith, truth, and in his love. And let's respond to that and then hear the faithful calling, the faithful assurance that Christ gives us, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your calling. We thank you for places in Scripture where you come to those who are humble, to those who have such great need. But Lord, you also come to those who seem to have everything that the world offers. And yet, Lord, we know that we can only find salvation in you. Thank you for opening us up to that truth, your will, your way. Lord, we pray that as we share in communion this morning, we may look back once again at all that you have done and given. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to start by sharing the reminder of what communion is all about, and then the invitation, and then sharing in communion together. And we do invite all who are part of the family of God, all who come before God in spirit and truth, to celebrate this morning with us. And we hope that you all have the communion cup and the wafer that's there. If you don't, I'm sure that that Tony would be glad if you raise your hands or if you have a need that way. I think you were all approached about that this morning already. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, this supper which we are about to celebrate, it is a feast of remembrance and communion and of hope. We come in remembrance that our Lord Jesus Christ was sent of the Father into the world to assume the flesh and the blood, our flesh and blood, and to fulfill for us all obedience to the divine law, even to that bitter and shameful death of the cross. By his death, resurrection, and ascension, he established a new and eternal covenant of grace and reconciliation, that we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken by him. We come to have communion with this same Christ who has promised to be with us always, even to the end of the world. In the breaking of the bread, he makes himself known to us as the true heavenly bread. He strengthens us to life eternal. In the cup of blessing, he comes to us as the vine in whom we abide if we are to bear fruit. We come in hope, believing that this bread and cup are a pledge and foretaste of the feast of love of which we shall partake when his kingdom has fully come. When we'll see him, behold him, and be made like him in glory. Since his death, resurrection, and ascension has obtained for us the life-giving spirit that unites us all in one body, let's receive this supper, mindful of the communion of saints too. We invite all those who are visiting with us, who are members in good standing of other churches, to partake with us, and it's our custom to share in the time of communion together. And what's in front of you is grape juice. And when we come before the Lord, we come realizing what he has done. Let's come before him in prayer. Most righteous God, we remember in this supper the perfect sacrifice offered on the cross by our Lord Jesus Christ for the sin of the whole world. In the joy of his resurrection and in expectation of his coming again, we offer ourselves to you as a holy and a living sacrifice. Send your Holy Spirit upon us, we pray, that the bread that we break and the cup which we bless may be to us the communion of the body and blood of Christ. Grant that being joined together in him, we may attain to the unity of the faith and grow up in all things into Christ our Lord. And as this grain has been gathered from many fields into one loaf, and these grapes from many hills into one cup, O Lord, grant that your whole church may soon be gathered from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's share in the prayer that we find. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right. Thanks and praise. Holy and right it is, we worship and adore you, Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In the highest. Most righteous God, we remember in this supper all that you've done. Together we proclaim the mystery of the faith. Christ has risen, died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Send your Holy Spirit upon us, we pray. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat, remember and believe. This is my body broken for you." The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take and eat and remember and believe. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take, drink, remember and believe that the blood of Christ was shed for the forgiveness of sins. Brothers and sisters, since the Lord has now fed us at his table, let's praise God, praise his holy name with heartfelt thanksgiving. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. Who didn't spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, and will also give us all things with him. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let's come before God in prayer, a closing song, and a benediction. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of worship, of communion, of singing, and of your leading. Guide us, Lord, as your people, and may we know the truth of the grace of God the Father, the love of his Son Jesus Christ, and the everlasting power and strength of the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen.